And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Me when I say we have a difficult time, but if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed of it. I stand here out of fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
What we miss in network signal, we make up in volume. It just seems like there's intermittent internet. The we'll be talking. Donna's leaving a message. Did you send a message?
Ian's gonna check it.
All right, they're gonna check it. Cool, it's all good. All right, Donna, are we done? Finished? Done with the newspaper? Done?
Yes, we are. I just want to call them this morning. There's I just want to make sure of something. But other than that, yeah, it's done.
Okay, so what's done?
The newspaper.
Which is
finally it's a 28-page tabloid newspaper that has a lot of local things in it to help promote events around here and things that go around on the state of Arizona. But it's also got some other things like Peacekeeper and Sidekick App and things that maybe these smaller communities don't know about, but they should. So we're going to be handing it out to different activists around the state and putting the template up for other people to...
Well, it's also a big giant dose of philosophy, leave me aloneism, blah, blah, blah. You know, there has been a need for this, and we wanted to demonstrate the method by which we can communicate and make a print paper, newspaper, interactive with the internet. That was, I wanted to have a really good paper. We're going to, you know, it's going to be pretty. It's going to, you know, have a lot of good stuff. And now it's kind of setting the tone. And I'm going, yeah, this is the, yeah. Because, you know, there's just a lot of community. Yeah. They're not, the people are going to, yeah. But the government's going to, no.
Yeah, those are not going to like it, but that's okay.
No,
requirement that they like
get him, get him. Why? Because he said freedom. Okay, which brings us to our story. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at this. Adam Kokesh sent yesterday the story, and here it is. Oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. Let me pull it up. All right. The Department of Justice declares that the book Freedom is a threat. Freedom's a threat in the prison. Damn skippy it is, man. You know, U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, United States Penitentiary, you're going to whip your butt. Don, let me see your glasses. Ooh, you know, these pretty pimp glasses for... Are these the same ones?
Yeah, it's a dollar. They're dollar store glasses.
I go, wow, these are cool. And they got like a tinted rim. And I go, how much were those? Oh, I got them at dollar store. Yeah, but how much were they?
99 cents.
And I go, you can get me a whole bunch of these. Look at that. You know, just cool. They're just glasses, but I mean 99 cents, America.
Yeah, kind of. You don't care if you lose them because you can find a thousand more of those.
Yeah, of course they're from China. But, you know.
Probably.
All right. So here it says, to the Freedom Line in Thousand Oaks, California. Regarding freedom, inmate Francis Cox 16179-006, you know, you might want to say hello, to whom it may concern. The above referenced publication, which you recently mailed, has been determined unacceptable for the reasons indicated below. This publication contains information which poses a threat to security, good order, or discipline of the institution. entire publication. You may appeal this decision within 20 days of receipt of this notification by writing, which is just send the book again, to U.S. Bureau of Prisons, North Central Regional Office, blah, 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 Kansas City. By copy of this letter, the inmate is advised he may appeal this decision through the administrative remedy. You never get to get whatever it is you want process. Okay? J.S. Watson, Warden. I feel a project coming on. And I tell you, you know, those that were at the party where Adam come and spoke and gave out a bunch of books, which I gave a bunch out at a meeting last night. I went to, we'll be talking about that too. Mark Victor did a presentation. Now that it's out and the press is done, I'll tell you the whole story about, you know, we're going to be suing some policing mans. Ooh, they provide us video. It's just so yummy. But, you know, it's just, so we'll talk about that. All right. Then what Adam wrote on this. What do you think we should do in response? We could appeal, but I'm not sure that I disagree that freedom is a threat to the security, good order, and discipline of the institution. In fact, it's a threat to the entire institution of government. If anything, this motivates me all the more to make sure we get a copy to every inmate in America, even if we have to send them in one page at a time. Maybe they'll try to ban this book altogether. Maybe they'll turn America into one big prison and say, you can't have freedom anywhere. Maybe if you've read Freedom, they won't let you in jail. Thanks to everyone who voted in response to our last email. Here is the winner. We'll have another vote soon. I used doing T-shirt designs. Let's see. I guess the one that won. If the troops defended freedom, they'd attack the government. Ooh. Dang. Okay. See you on the road soon, Adam. P.S. Freedom is only possible with your continued support. Will you make a monthly commitment to the cause? Will you share the message with 30 people? Will you win 5 converts? Will you get 100 people to download the audiobook? If you're better at making money than talking to people, can you support those who are doing the unglamorous, but all the more important, satisfying work of freeing minds one at a time with a monthly donation? You can make a deductible contribution at our nonprofit's website at thefreedom.fund. Thefreedom.fund. PPS! God, what is this, like a Libertarian Party freaking thing? It's like 15... Anyway, PBS, here's that video I mentioned. It's really getting around. Why are cops using tanks to pull people over? It was a video when Adam was here this last weekend. A veteran, he's getting pulled over, you know, at something. And it was like this big armored person. It was like a Brinks armored truck. You know, he goes, and he gets out and he has his video camera and he goes, am I being pulled over by a tank? Really? You know, and he goes, yes, you are. And I'm the driver. So I'm just like, if this wasn't, you know, perfectly crafted and timed. All right. Let me go ahead and hold this up here. Federal Bureau of Prisons. You know, you're not allowed to have freedom in prisons. Okay. Duh. Do we have a phone line hooked up to the car? What do you mean?
It was a question from Ian.
to Comrade. I have no idea. We're being asked by the network. Ian, do we have a phone line hooked up to Comrex? No, I think it goes straight into the internet. We use the Ethernet. Anyway. The this Federal Bureau of Prison thing, I really, it's so timely because Adam and I were talking about this exact very thing this Saturday before he even got this. I don't think he had this then. What's it dated? You know, recent. Okay, this is what happened. While we're there, I'm going, you know, he wrote it in prison. Yeah, prisoners have, you know, read it before, I'm sure. And I'm going, you know, Mark Victor is all chummy with Bill Montgomery, the county attorney, and I know Sheriff Joe since back in the day. And I go, we can at least get them to give us a letter like this. No, freedom's not allowed in the prisons, and you can't, and you're not supposed to, and whatever. I will see if I'll talk to Sheriff Joe, and we'll give him everybody intent to say, we'll work out a deal. You watch, we'll see. But he got this, and I'm going, One less thing we got to do.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, but there's a clear internet signal in the future. Damn it. All right, we'll dress it up. The effort that Adam and I were talking about this weekend, as I'm going, you know, yeah, this would be, I'd really like to see if we could get the book Freedom into, you know, you're sitting there incarcerated in a cell with nothing to do except, you know, evil thoughts, I guess, you know, idle hands. But this book, Freedom, I endorse it so much because it's so timely and so easy and so needed and so clear and so. You know, so many guys, I wish I had more influence in it. You know, I could have something, you know, but I was, you know, busy and, you know, whatever. But you can tell there's a little bit of, you know, we had a couple words in there probably Ernie had something to do with. But, you know, I'm just going, I could just take it, put Freedom's Phoenix on the front, slap it and say it was mine. Because Adam said I could. And he said anybody could. He's like, plagiarize, take it, beat it, change a word, say it's yours, don't care. You know, the freedom. And I go, yes. I just love that on the inside cover. You can do whatever you want. So I'm just like, man, I might want to, you know, there'd be something to be done. So I'm going, okay, Adam, what we need to do is Mark, and we talked about his speech last night. I go, he needs to talk to Bill Montgomery, county attorney, because the county attorney and him, they're, you know, they want to do another drug debate with Mark, but they don't want to videotape it. He wants another one. He wants to get some, see the audience or something. And Mark's going, nope, I'm done doing, you know, without videotaping, because it, you know, videotaping just shows what's really going on with you guys. You're killing me. So, and he tried to bail Bill Montgomery's butt out. What happened was there was a Tempe Republican district party, whatever, women thing, you know, meeting. And they asked Bill Montgomery to come and debate the drug war with their marijuana legalization drug war with Mark Victor, criminal defense attorney, good friend. So he goes, absolutely, this is why he's always, man, he lives for this, all right? So he gets up there, and there are a bunch of people with cameras. He had guys that Channel 12 was there. They're going, hey, we don't get the tape. What? Hey, will you whip? You know, and here's a tank commander in Gulf War I kind of guy, right? I'm not afraid. Bring it on. So during the taped presentation, there was a Vietnam veteran that got up and said, you know, and he salutes him and thank you for your service and all the right appropriate conservative crap. And he goes, you know, I use marijuana, you know, medically. And he goes, yeah, medically fine. And I go, well, recreationally, oh, you're the enemy. You sworn to defend and uphold the Constitution, and you're like not, and you know, I don't know what the hell marijuana law has to do with the Constitution, but you know, to be constitutional, they have to like do a prohibition amendment or something like they did with alcohol, and that work out. So you know, I'm going, okay. So he really lit into him. Well, that went postal. I mean, the local tabloids, man, they went all over it. It was all over the net, demanded resignations of, blah, 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 blah. Even veterans groups. I mean, it got ugly. So now Bill Montgomery is going to meet with that former Army guy, you know, the veteran in Mark Victor's office, which is a Marine. And I think maybe being a tank commander, probably Army. So Bill Montgomery, Army, goes there, and they're going to, you know, meet at Mark's place. No cameras. He goes, all right, that's fine. But he and I are going to go talk in the media. I mean, you know, it's going to be your change of heart and how nice and more tolerant you are or some crap, right? So I'm like, yeah. And I've known Sheriff Joe since 92. I mean, I was on his Rolodex for a while. I mean, you know, but so we're you know, cordial enough, and we know it's a game. Yeah, he's Mr. Pro PSYOP. Okay, it is all about PR and doing kind of, woo, my pink underwear and tent cities and kind of, I'm the toughest sheriff. And it's just, you know, so you can appeal to his vanity and his sense of public relations that I, you know, the more I think about it, it is quite possible. Now, of course, you know, he's still under the control of they, them, those. But, you know, I would think that, you know, come on, Joe, you allow freedom. the book in your jails. At least you're not banning it. Yeah, he probably didn't want to get involved in whatever, because whatever. But to ban it in the jails. And then if they do, what happens if they get drone dropped into Tent City? Oh, well, that's a freaking hanging offense, I'm sure, you know. So I'm just, what can we do? You know, we used the T-shirt launcher like they do at, the games, you know. Boom! You know, we said, I mean, how contrabandish is the book Freedom? How do you sneak it in? Do you send them in page at a time? Do you assemble them with Scotch tape and glue? So, we were thinking about this very thing, and then he sends me this. Adam Kokesh sends me from the Federal Bureau of Prisons of how the book Freedom is not allowed in the prison because it contains information which poses a threat to security, good order, or discipline of the institution. Entire publication. I am like, the United States of America is an institution to be protected from that freedom stuff, of which we're going to have the newspaper. We have hundreds of these to put in with it to give out when we go to Arizona Freedom Fest. And it's just the right people. These guys are, kind of Rand Paul-ish. If I had to do an average, it would be, there might be a little bit of government use, and it'd probably be a lot better if it was all Republican, and you know, we got a flag without the gold fringe, so it's okay. And let's see, and we was Merca, there's definitely a Merca. And then voting might, it's kind of, but that libertarian, we really liked Ron Paul. He's pretty cool, but Rand's a guy who can get elected. And I'm going, okay, well, you need some Freedom's Phoenix newspaper and Freedom book and Freedom. Yeah, it's some Freedom. Let's do some Freedom thing. Oh, and it's up at Schatz Ranch, just like 1,300 acres, of just shit. They got 40 shooting lanes. Okay, this is a private range up there. See, the bigger ones down here are municipal. They're, run by Arizona Game and Fish. This was, that's a whole story right there, how that came about. The I wanted to ask Donna. So tell me about what you thought. You haven't read the book yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, what's Adam got to do?
I told you I need you to put it on my phone, remember?
Oh, yeah, and you're going on vacation next week.
Yeah, that's
right. All right, tell everybody about that.
I'm going on a cruise.
I'm going to, so she can read Adam's book. Or you want an audio?
Audiobook.
Oh, okay, I'll audio. I can do that.
Yeah, so now I'm just going on a cruise with my daughter and my niece and my sister-in-law. It was a planned thing for their 30th birthday, and they're taking their moms with them, which was really nice, so...
Is that the kind of 30th?
You didn't know that? I mean, that was the whole...
I was wondering where... I can't remember how that came about.
They're both turning 30 this year, so they decide. I guess they wanted to do something together, but they thought it would be fun to have the moms come as well. So that's why they planned the whole thing, and we're just going to show up.
And do you have any ground rules? Like, no drama!
Well, no, I don't have any rules. There are no rules.
Yeah, the rule is no rules.
I'm not policing
or drama.
There.
The drama. It's just that, they're the oldest of my sister and I, and they lived together for, I don't know, a year or two. And so when they first moved out, they're like, yeah, we're free. And so it's just out to quit it. When I went and talked to them, helped them move in and everything, I go, either you start saying anything about the other one, I don't want to hear it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, the archive will be cleaned up a lot better, but the signal just intermittent. You can't be perfect all the time, I guess. Well, we're going to, Ian was saying, we could hook up a phone line in the back of the Comrex and just, do the old fashioned, goes through the codec kind of, and I can walk you through it in 30.3 seconds. And maybe not. I just know better, man. You start getting down underneath. I take the camera. I can show you all these freaking wires, man. These mixes, just hell no. That's what Drew's for. Drew! Yeah, come help me. All right. So what we're going to do is we got to talk about the freedom book, not going in, you know, where you're not free in prisons and stuff. And that was that concept, that idea. I was already way down the road on that. I'm like, oh, yeah, we need to do this. I want some kind of something that, no, you can't. Now, Adam, you know, wanted, have a text fest with him yesterday or something. No, just call me. He goes, no, I won't answer. No. He texts and I only phone and he's like, no, because he could do 1,400 simultaneous conversations and he'd be like missing something if he actually picked up the phone and talked to me. So he'll talk to Donna. So then I'll go ahead and set him up and we'll try and have him come on next week. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of producing today and so on, and getting ready for that because Donna won't be here. She's been up late. We're just, you know, it's always like with the magazine and everything, 36 editions of magazine, a lot of them Donna, you know, and we had Sierra. She started, my daughter. She got it all going and everything, a great book and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, Gwen Strimmick, she did it, and then she got pregnant, you know, and so that kind of, you know, stopped that. And then Donna took it, and it's been, it's hard. You know, you got to learn a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of publication, you know, publishing shortcuts and so on that we just need to keep learning, because I know that we cut this time down like a third of what it took to do that. It's just, you know, the order that you do things and kind of, you know, not repeating, you know, stuff. So we're learning, all right? So this one was pretty rough, but it set the template for what we want to do and for people to use it. Because that's one thing that we're doing. Oh, he'll do it today, last segment. Well, I was going to talk to Keith.
Keith won't be here.
Yeah, I know, but you said the last hour he's coming.
This segment.
Oh, the last segment. Okay. So we'll have him on in the next segment. Okay. Well, Keith Cernick is coming in. We haven't got a chance to just chat. So he's coming in the second hour, and we'll just chill for the rest of the day and go summarize of everything that's happened and what's coming up and so on. And then we'll get the thing from Adam in the next segment. Well, that's cool. All right. So we'll do that. Well, then last night, It's an economic discussion group. It started off as it's just been around for decades, and I'm kind of, you know, one of the more recent guys. I mean, I've been going for a long time, since the mid '90s. I've known these guys almost 20 years, but it's just I'm, you know, it's kind of the black sheep of, you know. And then you got the other guy on the other side, you know, Alan Corwin, the Second Amendment gun rights guy. He can't say, yeah, well, all you losertarians, he can't go a freaking, you know, time without saying that, because he's like a Rush Limbaugh, you know. Words have meaning, and he's always, you know, got to use the right word for everything. And libertarian, man, it just rubs in the wrong. No, you losertarians, losertarians, you know, just it's. But anyway, so I guess I don't know what the thing is with Rand. There's no. I don't know. Friday they're having a big thing. You know, it's $500 plate fundraiser kind of deal, and it's like. It is too young, but the, you know, I'm, because that doesn't mean anything. You know, my endorsement of a project or a candidate or something is, man, I created an infrastructure to help me promote them, you, a project, a thing, an idea, a philosophy, a person, even a campaign. But, you know, a campaign for what? I don't give a crap if you're running for office or not, but is that your campaign? Is to get more votes from the sheeple? I mean, you know, I'm going, what is it? Can we turn them into sheepdogs or something? Let's have, you know, a more audible goal than, you know, getting, but, well, what they say are vote totals in the machines. People, they come up, they'll go, oh, yeah, well, the last election, and they said in this number and percentage, and I'm going, la, 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 la. How did it change culture? How did, you know, what's been the issues discussed? What were, you know, what'd you learn? Or, you know, I mean, I don't even, I'm supposed to remember these percentages. I don't care. You know, so that maybe, I just, you know, a lot of times I might happen to know, but I remember they go, do you remember, well, you remember what the vote totals were? Oh, I had lunch with a friend of mine, an attorney in Glendale, that was a city councilman in Glendale. And we just, you know, good friends for a lot of years. And, you know, his people call my people, and we kind of get people together and go have lunch or something. So it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And we go to lunch after the show. And it's a little, you know, it's interesting. It's a little Asian restaurant. I mean, you know, I think it's Vietnamese, but an Asian restaurant by his law firm there. And downtown Glendale's gotten nice because the government said, you know, gosh darn it, it's going to be, and you're going to whatever, and we got a downtown because it says right here, we wrote it down. So as this nice restaurant, and it's owned by an older gentleman and his wife. Now, to save face in the community, you know, you don't have your sons or daughters or your kids buy your restaurant. You're supposed to just give it to them. And he goes, no, I can't. I need the money. I got it. You know, so he just runs it. And his son's like, well, look, I mean, if you're not going to, you know, sell it to me, I'll buy it. Nope. You know, having your son buy your restaurant for that's like bad juju, man. They no heck no. I can't. I sell it to somebody else. You know, but I need money. We'll just keep it here. So they open up another one, kind of like a more of a fast foodie Panda Express kind of thing up near me here. And I really like that food. I've been there a few times. So I'm going, oh, I'll go find out and check out who these guys are. Oh, it's Saigon. Yeah, the Saigon House or something. So it's Vietnamese. So I'm going, okay. So the daughters come in, and I know this drill, kids in a restaurant. So the two daughters, beautiful, nice, you know, very friendly, you're welcome. And they do the, you know, South Park Raisins thing, you know, and, you know, pat you on the back and kind of, you know, like you a bunch. So I'm going, okay, so this is really nice. And it gives you, you know, a feeling of the community down there, how it's diversified and it's downtown. And you got, so I enjoy that place and the stories behind it. But the conversation goes right to, you know, the kind of the stuff that's going on. And he told me a story. He goes, he was, not too long ago, he was at a function to where Vicente Fox was speaking to a bunch of gray hair Republican conservatives. And Vicente Fox was president of Mexico, but he's a big advocate for doing away with the drug war. He's like, oh man, this is, you know, done. So of course he has a lot of, you know, drug connections being from Mexico, I guess. And, that's where Joby Weeks knows him is from him doing his Manatech. Manatech, when you order the product, they give an equal amount to the orphans. It's like, you know, feed the world. You know, you buy this, you know, we give enough pallets that go to all these different charitable functions and, you know, orphans, and we're needing food around the world. Well, one of those projects was in Mexico, and the president, you know, got to know them, and it's, you know, good PR, and so they're buddies. Well, you know, Joby Weeks is the one that legalized marijuana in Breckenridge, and, you know, ski resort town in Colorado, and he just stood out one summer and said, you know what, I'm going to stay here during mud season. You know, he had a chateau or whatever there, and he liked snowboarding and so on. He goes, you know, I'll just stay, and I'll just collect signatures from the residents. We'll have a vote, and we'll legalize marijuana, which they did. Well, that started it. Boom. Then goes Colorado. Boom. Then goes Washington State. Well, here comes Vicente Fox going, hey, man, I got some peoples, and I got some money. Now, let's get into this marijuana distributorship kind of thing. So that is, and he goes around talking to these conservative politicians, say, man, this prohibition thing didn't work out. So what does Richard, he's sitting there, he's surprised that most of the guys in there go, yeah, we don't care. It was never a thing. But as policymakers or politicians or, you know, they, them, those will do in the media and crucify and get on you and stuff, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So here everybody knows that it's over. So now what? Everybody knows it's over. So now what? Who? What, they, them, those, man. In the media, what? Who? We got to be the media. Now, which is what we've been setting up. And now we're going on to the Safe Nerd Network. And we're getting the hardware for the Made Safe Network. Three machines at the end of this month. Nyunk, 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 nyunk. Adam?
Yo.
So I got to talk. I want to talk to you. I got to put you on the show. The can you talk later on the phone at all?
Hold on a second. What do you mean?
No, you're like, you know, you always want to text everything. I mean, I got, you know, I got a life, man. Texting's like work and stuff.
Oh, well, I got a life, so.
Yeah, I know you try and have 13 conversations at the same time using your texting. I get it.
Talking on the phone is work. But yeah. I'll talk to you and you tell me what's up.
All right. Well, I'll tell you on air. Here we go.
And that's 213-493-0309.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
The rum.
I want to
Okay, this is what's going on. Well, Donna wanted to say hey real quick. Go ahead and say hello.
Good morning, Adam. It's good seeing you guys the other day.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. Donna enjoyed it. Even though she had to do, you know, all kinds of stuff and publish and kind of, we got it done. It's in, and there's a prominent, nice place for you inside the newspaper. We're going to get you all pimped out to a lot of people, and we got some events to go to, and I went to an event last night. All right, here's the deal. Last night, it's a discussion group in around decades. These are, you know, it's judges, doctors, lawyers, accountants, professionals. They have this, it's kind of Republican, you know, get a lot of libertarian kind of leaning in there. And then there's a good little cadre of anarchists. You're still voting. I mean, and that keeps growing. So I took and made sure everybody got, you know, at least 1.2 of your books. All right. People are coming up. Yeah. You know, I want to give my daughter, damn Skippy. She's going to be giving it to you here directly. So then we start passing out freedom. Oh, yeah. Who wrote this? Mr. Adam Kokesh, I don't want you to, you know, be afraid of freedom now. You know, just take the book. Now, I was telling the audience, we were talking about this weekend when you came to do your Campfire Freedom tour through Arizona. And we had a nice crowd for you. Had a good time. Everybody enjoyed themselves. So I'm going, okay, what was one of the things that we were talking about? It was about getting them into the prisons. Now, last night, the television crew was there, Channel 12, which is, I think, NBC, was there interviewing me. He goes, look, you want to talk to me? This is the only time I got to talk. So they went there, set up the cameras at the University Club where we had the meeting, and they did an interview with him on some other legal whatever, and he pimped this, and what he was talking about is, you know, the cop thing. We'll talk about that when Keith in the next hour. But he knows Bill Montgomery, the county attorney, pretty well. And they debate and go at it, and, you know, they don't agree on anything, but, you know, they're cordial. You know, Sheriff Joe Arpaio and I are on, you know, like, cell phone lists, okay? So the thing is, I'm going, what if Mark and I hit the county attorney and the sheriff and see if we can get the Freedom Book into the prisons, and we can do a mass thing or just allow it thing or what I was really looking for is them to say, no, freedom's not allowed, okay? So I'm going, so then I see yesterday you send me a copy from the Department of Justice saying, freedom not allowed, it's a threat to the system. And I'm going, I would have paid money for that one, okay?
Exactly.
So I'm going, okay, so did you know about this letter? I mean, did you just find this out, or did you already have that?
No, I just got it day before yesterday. Our publisher was checking the mailbox back in California and found that and just took a picture of it and sent it to me, and I'm just so grateful that the Department of Justice would take the time out of their busy schedule of running the police state to endorse my book.
I thought that was, you know, see, positive waves, you know, create this kind of stuff. All right.
The other thing that's so great about this is that they said it was the entire publication
that was
a threat, which means that supposedly someone on their staff has read the entire thing, and that's really exciting. I just want to point out to anybody who might be ordering a copy of the book or who's picking up copies from me on the tour who'd like to send it to some inmates that, you know, if they reject it, at least they're reading it. And really, it's not the inmates who know that they're the victims who really need it, although they're the ones with as much time on their hands as they could possibly need to read a short 100-page book. But it's the victimizers who run the system who really need to be made aware of its criminality.
You know, when we did the We Won't Fly TSA protests here in Arizona, we had the opt-out bags, you know, had gloves, this, that, and so on. But the whole thing was geared around the TSA workers, because we had the Godzilla radiation dosimeter badges. And we're going, look, man, you need to just, you know, email right here. Go to the webpage of MS Dosimetry out of Florida and order these badges. You carry it around for a day in your pocket. Don't tell them, because they don't want you to do it. They're making it illegal. You're not allowed to have radiation dosimeters. I go, get this. Then find out what your doses are, and you can kind of tell. When we did that, all of a sudden, Sky Harbor, boom, they took those machines out and put up new ones. I get the press all calling me, you win! See? You're changing me! I go, you guys don't even freaking get it, man. It's not about the machine. I don't give a crap. That was somebody else. You know. So it's just a psyop. So doing the Freedom Book, going into the prisons, you may have a greater percentage readership of the freaking guards.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, as we sent out in our last email from our email newsletter, we got a note from a friend of ours, or at least a, a fan who said he works, he's a counselor in a jail, and so he doesn't have to go through the normal mail filtering process. He's able to bypass all of that, and we sent him 5 copies for free just to share with inmates there, and he says they're such a success that inmates have to, you know, write down their names in the book to keep a list of who's next in line to read each of those 5 copies.
You know, I have spiritual abilities. I have the Universal Church of the Spaghetti Monster or something ministry thing with my black, you know, titanium freaking metal cool looking pastor badge, okay? Or, mm-hmm. you know, card. So I'm going, you know, because I had some friends I married and so on, wanted to be semi-official, I guess. So I go, okay. Now, I remember in the late 90s when the Viper Militia thing went in there, and Dean Pleasant, a good friend of mine, was in. One of our activist here, she is a pharmacist and a science fiction writer and got some skills. Well, she got that, those clergy credentials, and she could go visit them. So I'm going, maybe we find somebody that we know or a friend of a friend of a friend's former roommate's cousin that we can say that we're going to go visit, and we just take some books with us, you know?
And maybe we should just organize the Church of Freedom and make this officially, legally, a religious text.
Woo! Did you just think of that? Come on, did you just think of that? You've been thinking of that.
I've been waiting for an excuse for that.
No! That is awesome. See, this is how this happens. This is how this stuff happens. This is exactly how it happens. Okay. So let's flesh this out a little bit. So we start our own Church of Freedom. We emphasize in all religious texts that emphasize the freedom aspect of their religion, of their text. Of their, you know what? We're the freedom guy. We look for, and we found the common thread is self-determination, free will, thou shalt not, you know, covet and kick the crap out of your neighbor for his goodies, and, you know, that murder thing is, you know, the kind of killing and all that. You know, I'm going, yeah, yeah. And then you go to Thomas the Jefferson Bible, so he kind of, like, you know, cut and pasted, you know, for his Bible, and then you go, okay, you know, this might be, and what is our religious text is, you know, and so who's the great and wonderful and that should do yoga and cross leg prophet Buddha? Kokesha? Nah.
hey, if this is the role the government has picked out for me, I am simply, I must submit to superior force and be coerced and such.
Okay, so you gonna wear a robe? You know, gotta wear a robe. You know,
I think I'll stick with the t-shirt and cargo shorts and flip flops outfit. I have
toga. Okay,
I have 4 items entirely that I put on a daily basis for my entire ward: 1 left flip flop, 1 right flip flop, 1 pair of cargo shorts, and 1 t-shirt, and we're keeping it at that.
Okay. All right, that's, you know, if you're going to be the wandering prophet.
Can I add a funny hat to that? Can I, like the Pope?
Hell yeah.
Okay,
make sure it's pointy.
I'll get a Pope hat. I'll have a Pope hat.
No, you get a fez. That'd be cool. You know, the you know, I'm just this. Yeah, this is something I'd be interested in. We had talked about some kind of excuse way we could do this. I know I could throw the clergy thing in there. You know, that would be, you know, with Sheriff Joe. I'll talk to him. I'll meet to him. I can at least get a meeting with him.
Well, I'll look into the paperwork process for this today, but you'll be the first ordained minister.
Absolutely. I got a something of something. You know, we could something. That would be something. You know, but then I ain't filling out any paperwork, though. I can tell you that. But this is...
I'll just put your name down.
All right. We'll work out something. Let's talk about it.
Go, you might have to find something so we can get you into some jails.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they'll do the... Yeah, I'm the... Whatever. But I'm not... I mean, like, I don't want to have to... I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how much anal probing they want to do to discourage me, and then we'll make a thing out of that. But Freedom, the book. And in there, what would an inmate, real quick, what would an inmate, you know, get out of that book? He have it, and then he'd go, yay, I'm like worse off somehow?
Clarity. Freedom from emotional turmoil.
Clarity. You know, that, I tell you, it lifts the mind fog. You do that first. Then... all the other stuff comes around. Adam's done a really good service by having this book. I'm glad we put it at the top of the dispatch today. I pimped you out. I thought it was a good eye and did. We'll work on it. Stay tuned to hear Adam Coquette. Adam versus the man. TheFreedomLine.com. Am I right?
That's it.
TheFreedomLine.com. The Freedom Line. And the book, Freedom. Free download in all formats, including audio. Donna's going on vacation this week, and I'm putting it on her phone today.
Free Talk Live's recent Bitcoin.
There. Boom.
Cool. That's fun.
Hold on. To download it.
Download what? She says she's having problems downloading the audio file onto her phone.
Yeah, that's because we fucked up with Libsyn, and they have to reinstate our account because we didn't have any money last month. And so we're waiting for that. And then that single MP3 file will be available there again.
Well, how long are you thinking?
I don't know. I sent him an email yesterday.
He said they're redoing the account subscription or something.
Yeah, but you can get you can get the MP3, you can get the, section by section MP3s.
How? Well, we'll go through it with her. I got the file on my phone, and I'll see if I can put it up to my computer to compute. I'll deal with it. If I have to, I can just play it for a few hours into my system here through the jack, and just I'll have my own copy.
You can rip the MP3 from the YouTube video as well.
Oh, is that one file?
Or if you want, I'll just email it to you. Let me just email you.
Email Donna the MP3 sheet, because she's going on her cruise, and on her drive over to L.A., she could listen. That's just enough time for her to listen to the whole book on her way over. If I'm lucky, she can get my sister and my niece and daughter to do it. Probably not. She wants to get. Well, that's how I did it. When just from Phoenix to Atlanta, boom, done. Yeah,
say that again?
Well, that's how I listened to it, was from a plane from Phoenix to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So Donna, on her drive over to L.A. from Phoenix, that'd be a good time. So anyway, she needs it on her. You send her the MP3 file. That'd be cool. That way, one less thing I got to do.
Yeah, no problem. We'll do.
All right. Thanks, Adam. All right.
Do you have any other ideas for how to capitalize on this?
I mean, we're still in the archive. We're recording. But I just want you to know that I just didn't have time yesterday. We were finishing deadline of all that crap. I had a plan for you, man. We were definitely going to pimp this, because this is what we were talking about. I'm going, holy crap, I thought it was going to take me 2 months to get a letter. And I get it from DOJ. Well, crap, you just want to give them a wet one, So I'm going, okay, so let's go. And I'm going to take that. Can you send me, I guess that picture is enough. I just wanted to get like a PDF of that or something, because I want to take it to Bill Montgomery and to Arpaio. Because Arpaio's, I like dealing with Arpaio, because you can always tell what his knee-jerk reaction is. How does it benefit him, PR?
About Arpaio, does he really understand the message?
Yeah, he didn't care. Yeah, no, I've known him for 20-something years. I've been dealing with him since 92. He gets it. He just doesn't care. He's DEA, man. He knows. He knows. So he knows I know, too.
Has he really ever taken the time to consider the philosophy in its entirety?
Yeah, something to be opposed, something to be controlled, something to be avoided, something to be, I just follow the law and Durka Durka Jihad and shiny badge and stuff. These guys are not redeemable. Cool.
All right, well, if they're beyond redemption, but here's the thing. There are a lot in the system who are not beyond redemption.
No. There a lot of we find out about stuff comes from the deputies. How we find out from stuff is investigators.
What's cool about this is that now they all have a reason to read this book.
Yeah, no. I'll get some play out of this. Okay, we have a bunch of media stuff coming up in the next week or so with Mark doing some stuff and us. And last night was me. We were talking about it on the show. But there's a bunch of stuff going on, and I had to get this paper thing done to help with a lot of the stuff that we're doing. So I got you in the paper. We have a bunch of the copies. I can make a thing out of it. This is what's going to happen. How it apply to you when we start having the project, or we get a conduit by which to get them in, then the fundraising starts to do it. But I got to create the conduit first for a need for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, you know, let me go through this process. I will go ahead and make some of the calls. Matter of fact, as soon as the show's over, Donna, make a note and put it on my keyboard to call Sheriff Joe. And then we'll work it out. I'll get him to, see, I'll at least get him to say no. I mean, that's all I want is them just to respond. I get a response and we'll go from there. But the thing is I might be able to convince him that this is a beneficial thing to everybody, including society, his constituents, and he gets to, you know, be your bestest buddy, and somehow he'll benefit from, I'm going, look, Sheriff Joe, this is, because we've done this stuff in the, I mean, over 20 years of activism, there hasn't been a single time that, you know, we haven't coordinated and he got some kind of benefit out of the pre-knowledge. Because right. He's one of those guys that, ooh, he's got, even if he comes out against. I remember when Cop Block came out and they did their sidewalk chalking and all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked to the police and we're like, look, man, you don't want to press that, you know, just this, be, you know, pace. So Al Ramirez from the Confrontation Prevention Squad, he came around, met with them, you know, went up, it's all good, and they went into court and did something on some case that was there, and they just kind of let it go. Then they went out in front of the sheriff's department, the county jail there, and he did chalking. Well, the thing was, I go, look, man. They go, he's out in the press. He's going to go whip some ass. And I go, look, man, you don't want to do this. You're not going to win this thing because, one, it's legal. This is what the law says. This is what they're going to do, and it's going to be videotape on top of videotape. Don't be a butthead. So he's like, oh, well, okay. So what he did, let him do it. Not a problem. And then he had his chain gang come out, you know, a couple hours after they left and then washed it all off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they got their chain gang. So then they got video of that and everything. Now, the law was, I go, look, this is what's going to happen. Next time we do this.
Well, hey, why not set them up to lose next time?
No, I don't want any fear. I mean, we made the point, got the press. I go, but this is what I wanted to do. You have an anarchist A that goes right up to the wall on the sidewalk, and then I would take and make a little triangle to complete the A on the wall. So I violated the law with the little tip of the A. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get the pictures ready. You know, that's what we wanted to do. And I go, you know, I'll do that. If you want to arrest somebody, I'll go complete the A up on the wall, and I'll be in violation, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So they're just like, you know, nah, we won't do that. And I'm going, all right, well, I'll give you a chance to get some Ernie, man, because that's how ridiculous this stuff is. So this is the kind of thing that I let me walk it through. But what I need to do is to get some kind of a project of a conduit of being able to do it or them not letting do something, and then we'll make it a project. And this clergy thing, you know, is might be a nice conduit. So we have a bunch of freedom clergy. We have our own nationwide church visiting jails.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the jails will be our church.
Yeah.
Oh, how a separation of church. We go, separation for let my people go. It's Exodus. In your mind. Oh, hell yeah. This is good. Hey, you feel me? Come on, man.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that.
Well, start thinking about it. I'm willing to do it. I got limited time, but I will start with the county attorney and the county sheriff, and we'll see what we can do with this.
All right. Well, I'm gonna look into filing like the federal paperwork to start a religion then.
Yeah. Why go talk to Chuck? You know, you should talk to Chuck Baldwin. Just see, because you can do it without all that crap. I don't know. Whatever. I'll just think about it. I'd rather not, because I don't need. I mean, that kind of defeats the whole thing. We got a permission slip to, you know, come not talk about not having permission slips. I'm not. Anyway, we'll think about it. I got to get to the next hour. I talk to you later, man.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Okay. Okay, Keith Cernick stopped by and said, yo, what's up? We finally get the, I mean, we've been so busy, just busy, busy. Now it's like chill day. Then tomorrow I got to go up to Payson and get the paper. What are you doing tomorrow?
I got to work for the man tomorrow.
Man worker? He's a man worker. Okay, so tell people what you do while I look for this.
I am a licensed physical therapist, and I've been doing that for since August of 2004. And if you're still listening, I work for a big medical corporation called MAYO, which in Chinese means no go, unfortunately. But that was one of the things when I worked for Phillips Petroleum before Mayo, and Mayo, you know, that's how the Chinese would say it, Mayo, and Mayo means no go.
That's like Nova.
Nova, yeah.
Like
a
Chevy Nova, and I'm going, you take Spanish and you go, Nova, which means no go. And I'm going, yeah, hot rod muscle car called Nova.
No go.
I don't know. And, you know, you had a lot of Hispanics driving them, so I guess it was kind of an ironic thing.
It's a Chevy, man.
They got my Chevy. Okay.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that. Yeah, that was, yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that was Adam just on. Yeah. We talked about this. Is good.
Oh, that
this
was
year.
Adam the
cokehead.
The man against the man.
Yeah, the man against the man. Okay. Now, this is the deal. I don't know if you were part of the conversations that we had, but what we were talking about over the weekend is I'm going, wow, we should get, I go, I got an idea. Let's see if we can get a refusal of freedom in the prisons, right? So, no, freedom's not allowed in the prison. Freedom, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, thanks, Don. So, what happened was we go, Mark Victor is like tight with Bill Montgomery now. All right, they're all buds. Then, you know, county attorney. You know, Sheriff Joe and I, man, speed dial. You know, I just, you know, what's up? All right? So I go, what if Mark and I both made an effort to see if we could get, you know, for free, we get freedom in the prisons?
Tent City.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. And I go, we could do a drone drop if we had to. You know? So I'm going, drone dropping freedom. We're just drone drop. I mean, there's so many ways we'd go to jail. Okay. So you got to be sure that you did, yeah, get the good PR. So we'll think of all the kind of creative, you know, legal and maybe semi-gray legal, you know, ways of getting a book into the prisons or the jails. Tent City. Any freaking where. Now, what's a conduit that we can do that? Well, I have the fraternal, you know, what do you call it? The order of seminary, you know, I spent 15 minutes online, you know, doing my seminary, filling out the I got my pastor thing.
I have that because I married Sir Lawrence, who was here, and his wife. And then I probably have about another 3 months until I expire.
There's an expiration on that thing?
Well, you got to make money somehow, and then it's an annual thing, and I guess I have to pay another $10. It's in Seattle. I think it's in Washington. Or
was it a spaghetti monster thing? Or
no, negative, sir. It was a legitimate thing, and I had to.
Well, mine's legitimate.
Well, of course it's.
You don't believe in a spaghetti-headed monster or something?
I believe.
Shut up and believe.
I believe I can fly. Yeah, they got to make money. Everybody's got to make money. And the funny thing is I had to do it twice because the Hawaiian people said, oh, no, you got to do this. You got to jump this hurdle before you crawl under this barbed wire. And unfortunately, I crawled under the barbed wire before I jumped over the hurdle. And because of that, I had to pay $10 more to the woman. It's actually going to be the woman now, Ernie. You got to realize
that. The woman.
It's not about the man anymore. It's the woman.
Hillary, President Hillary?
Well, lab books.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your books, you know, are you head up of the Hillary meetup?
You know, I could, but that's just another negative, dark energy that I just don't want to do.
I know.
But I've got to do it sometimes, you know. But maybe what I might be is the participant, the kind of guy who is on the sidelines. I heard something about not the sage on the stage, but the guide on the side. So I want to be the guide on the side because I think that actually has more importance than the sage on the stage.
I try to be the court jester.
Well, you're those two extra cards in that deck of 52 that somehow you slip them in. Wouldn't it be funny? You slip those two cards in those big poker games in Vegas, and it comes up the card jester, and you just go, WTF, who put this? You know, oh, just jacking with the system.
Oh, that's right. You slip a card in.
You slip a card in, and it's the Joker card, you know. But that's a silly thought, you know.
I wonder if that would ever have. They've done that. Somebody slipped a card in, and then
dude, please, Ernie.
I know. You just know. All right. So this is a. You want to be part of the Church of Freedom?
Well, sure. You know, hallelujah. We'll go. It's 501. Yeah, but you got to get all those.
Yeah, see, that's one thing. Adam's going, well, I'll check on the, you know, the paperwork. And I'm going, why?
Well, see, the thing is, my mother, she's...
tax deductible.
It is. It's crazy. She's a church manager at Our Lady of Lourdes out in Sun City West. And so she probably knows all that 501(c) BS.
Well, I was telling her, I'm going, look, just call...
Chuck, yeah.
Yeah, just call Baldwin and just not. I mean, just not.
Does Chuck have a 501(c)?
Hell no. That's his big thing.
Obviously, he can't because he does all that stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. He can't.
No, hell no. You're excommunicated from the permission slip of the IRS.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, no. You say anything like biblical about free will and stuff, and I go, oh, no, you're in violation of the permission slip. It was this Soviet Russia.
How about if instead of doing Hail Marys before he, you know, church thing, if he has, like, for instance, today, this morning, I did all the verses of the Star Spangled Banner before I came here. Most people wait till they go to a sporting event just to do one verse of the Star Spangled Banner. But how about if a Chuck or even Adam Kokesh, if they would videotape it, and you could even have two guys holding a flag and kind of flopping it back and forth like they do on the field? But I was thinking that since I've done all the verses of Star Spangled Banner, most of the pathetic sporting events only do one verse. But I do that every morning. You know, I make sure I get it done, and if people see me sitting in the stands, not standing up for the colors, you know, I tell them I've already done four verses. I'm asking, have you done all four verses? You pathetic people only do one verse.
There's more verses.
Of course there's more verses.
That's a long time.
There's sing songs. You got to do all the government songs, you know? I mean, that's one of the government songs.
Government songs. Okay, so we're looking at, we're going to go ahead and pursue this again, you know, see if we can get, you know, freedom in prison.
It doesn't matter if I'm in or not in, Ernie. You know I'm going to do it.
This has a potential, because I, you know, one thing Adam just brought up, he goes, you know, it's where he had most of the impact, you know, a lot of the inmates, they have time to read it and they're there, but he goes, it's the administration and the guards and all, it's the infrastructure, they're the ones that need this, and they're the ones that, you know, and what he was so proud of is that he's really happy about this part right here. I'll show you in the letter, it says this is the reason, you know, indicated below reason. This publication contains information which poses a threat to security, good order, or discipline of the institution. Which part of it? The entire publication, in parentheses.
Who wrote this? I mean, there was a signature on the bottom.
This is a Federal Bureau of the United States Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, United States Penitentiary.
Well, there's an appellate. There's somebody above him, right?
And it's sincerely J.S. Walton, Warden.
Okay, well, there's always in the hierarchy, in the bureaucracy, because you remember, you know...
Hey, if I want to go up until I get a no, well, I got my no. I don't want to go up. Well, they might turn it into a yes.
That's what I'm saying. You have to keep appealing these things, and you have to, you know, it's
just... Yeah, okay. You know, I just like when they say, hey, I got a no-go. Well, you didn't go up there. I go, you confused me with someone that's what? Or am I a rat on your freaking maze? You know, am I a hamster on your wheel? You already said, okay, I went on the hamster wheel for a couple of minutes. You said, no, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I got a little gerbil tunnel over here, and I went over and kind of nutted through and kind of were breaking. Oh, freedom's breaking into prison. You know, how can you not have fun with this?
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin, because Keith Likey. Hey! All right. What I want to do is we'll flesh this out as time goes on. Adam's got a beat on it, and I'm just like, You know, at least talk to, you know, Pastor Baldwin. Maybe he might want to have a participation in this freedom passing out church of whatever the heck without filling out paperwork. But I know what Adam's thinking. He's taking money. No, because he's thinking, he's going, if we do this as a fundraising church contribution, tax deductible, get a whole bunch of book, make kind of, you know, I always wanted to be, you know, L. Ron Hubbard, you know.
Oh, he's a preacher. Adam's a preacher.
Yeah. No, no, I might as well. I go, so I asked him, I go, so you going to wear robes and stuff? I mean, is it like, are you the prophet? You going to do the Buddha, you know, pose or what? You know, maybe man, whatever I got to do, as long as I flip flops, cargo pants, and a t-shirt. I mean, I go, you got to have a hat. You know, he goes, yeah, I got to have a hat. And I go, okay, make it like a fez or something. You know,
what's a fez?
No, it's that like a Shriner hat. You know, the Shriners going
around. Oh,
with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going, yeah, I gotta be, yeah, yeah, I can see, yeah, this is going to be interesting, you know. So, yeah, that air conditioner's loud. I don't know if they can hear it over the air.
We don't need it today, though, I think.
I opened the window, it started getting hot in here. Yeah, what the heck was the temperature today?
61.
So. Oh, my goodness. Global warming. This is April 15, 16. What is it? 16th. Mid-April, and it's freaking in the low 60s. That's just not right, you know. That's not normal, is it?
Well, actually, it's not too too far from normal, though.
You know, so it says, see, we're down to 62. Wow. Okay. You know, I don't remember. I think, it, you know, by April, it starts getting pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
We're suntanning and stuff by then.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone swimming yet?
I throw my wetsuit on. If you go to my Facebook, I have my little water cap, and I was in my parents' pool in February. With a wetsuit, half wetsuit, yeah.
Okay, Keith Cernick, Cyrnek, right?
Roger that.
Yeah, he's in trouble. You know, you go around, vote for Hillary, I'm for Hillary shirts.
Oh, man.
You know, this is getting, you know, it's going to be, it's going to be another Bush or Clinton.
Well, Ladbrokes, think about this. Ladbrokes, it's the gambling site in Europe or in England, and it's the big gambling site. Do you know what the odds are of the, who it is, the Republican Party nominee, and what are the odds? Who's the number one front runner?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even pay attention, I swear, and I'll bet you, yeah, when it comes to money, that people are placing their money.
Placing
down.
Money. This is money.
It would be Jeb Bush and way over half.
Oh, wait. Right now, the number one is Jeb Bush. You're correct. There's 4-1 odds of him winning. 4-1 odds. Who's number two? Not that you need to.
Of Republicans or both?
Republicans. We'll talk about the Democrats next.
Cruz, probably. Is it Rand?
Guy from Wisconsin.
There was some new guy.
Scott Walker.
Oh,
former.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 5-1. He's
now,
5-1.
Was he the one that refused to run last time, and he was great and conservative and wonderful and wrote a book and did Jon Stewart and kind of stuff?
That sounds right.
I think that might have been, to say it's him. I was thinking it was Mick something.
Yeah. Rand Paul's 25-1, and then we have Ron Paul, 50-1, Sarah Palin's 50-1, and Donald Trump's 50-1. All three of those are right there grouped at 50-1 odds.
Okay, well, at least, you know, they got Donald up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they must have credibility.
Yep.
All right, what about Democrats?
Democrats, guess who's...
Hillary, but I mean, by a nose or by 63.7%?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know. You might be able to tell me.
15-1 or...
No, check out these odds. It's like reverse. It's 1-4, something like that. It's like, it's such a sure thing that you're not going to win money if you put money down. Is that how it works? It's not, I mean, I'll show you on the cell phone, but it's not 4-1 odds or like, you know, horse racing, 3-2. It's 1-4. I don't get it.
So if you bet on her, you lose money?
No kidding. I mean,
you lose regardless.
Which is pretty true, yeah. And number two was, I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. You know, my thing is that, one, the Republican get nomination. Two, the Democrat nomination goes to Hillary, and Republican Bush, it's a Bush-Clinton thing.
Oh, you know who's number two on the Dems? It's the other lady from...
Elizabeth Warren or something.
Not Warden, but Warren, I think
Warren.
It is. But
Warren.
She, I heard she does not want to do it. She doesn't want to work.
Well,
for,
I tell you what, she
doesn't want to work for the Trilateral Commission or the, you know.
Is that what she said?
No, she didn't say
well,
that.
Well, this is what happens. You have her going up again. Oh, it's the filthy, stinking bankers and the big giant and the money that's giving it all to Hillary. You know, I mean, who she's very going up against is Hillary and all her buddies. Yeah. Kind of. So I'm just, I'll bet you there is a definite behind the scenes conversation of freaking you do not damage the nominee before they even get to be nominated to get into the program of the Democrats. And didn't you get the memo Clinton's going to get nominated?
It's crazy, dude.
You know, this coronation of whatever. And I'm going, wow. But I love when they have coronations because what happens is there is no steam valve, you know, like another person. It's the people themselves, and Keith Cernick's out there, you know, starting his Hillary meetups.
Oh my God, I could have done that months ago. There's only four meetups nationwide about 4 to 6 months ago.
She's bussing in supporters. They when she goes to the colleges, they shut down the college. Nobody can go anywhere. Then they bus in supporters to put on the camera. Now, we saw this. I saw this with my own eyes in New Hampshire during the 07-08 primary thing that they were doing there.
Oh, yeah.
And we were out there, and they had a bunch of Obama people. Obama had the progressive of we're socialist, and we wanted whatever. Now, Hillary, she had, like, nothing. So they had probably a dozen people in this ocean of people that were, you know, almost about equally split. You know, maybe a little bit, you know, tie goes to Ron Paul. I mean, there was a lot of enthusiasm and stuff and presence and creativity and all. But in terms of numbers, it's about the same between Obama and Clinton. I mean, Ron Paul. Probably a little bit more Ron Paul, but I'm trying to be nice. And the, but Hillary, they put in, you know, like the free speech protest fenced off corner zone. In that corner, they brought all the Hillary people in. So it looked like, you know, all these Hillary in a crowd, and they went in there, oh, we're here. And it was Stephanopoulos, you know, doing the interviewing with Hillary. And it's kind of, oh, look at all these Hillary supporters. We're sitting there laughing. Well, and staying in our cabin was 30-foot pole guy, okay? He had this big, long, extendable pool cleaning, you know, pole, right? So that thing, you know, long. It goes. So he put a Ron Paul sign on it, and while they're doing the live broadcast, it just comes in the frame from the top, and, you know, Ron Paul sign. It's like, yeah, Ron Paul bombed! Ron Paul bombed! You know, so it's just, and so he became famous, you know, the 30-foot pole guy, you know, that's how he's known. And where was he at? He was a really nice guy. I can't remember what his name was, but of course we did back then. We were friends at the cabin, but so there's a lot of this kind of stuff, but it was very staged. And I go, Hillary is a staged person. And that's what her campaign is being known for, is just all this staged stuff. But doesn't make any difference. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, and the press is going to do what they're going to do because that's what they do. So we're going to, so what are we going to do? I don't know if I'm, you know, I will do something. But instead of, like, you know, go play politics, I'd rather play, you know, like, preacher of freedom in the prisons. That seems a more effective use of my time. Give them to respond on.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I am the man. trouble all my day.
You know where that's from?
Wasn't that movie where those guys got out of prison or something?
Oh, brother, where art thou? That's right. Or something like that.
I couldn't get into it, though.
I thought it was unique as hell. George Clooney played, and what's her name from... what's her name? But the it was stars, you know. But it was this song. It was all about him getting back to his wife and breaking the chain gang and getting. He had to have these two guys with him and to get him to go so he could escape. He promised him some wealth and then it was just and it was all this fancy talk. John Goodman was in it, you know. It was just an adventure. It was definitely strange. Maybe it had a bunch of politics.
Maybe
in
I got to watch it again.
Yeah, no. It was fun. I really liked it. It was unique. But it had, you know, them singing this, whatever the heck you call that. The okay, but you know you've arrived. Okay, this is it. You know, Gina first she's in there posting, you know, doing the staff is, you know, starting to post stuff up for the, you know, midday dispatch, and I'm going, okay, so what's her first one up here? Here it goes.
Oh no.
Science continues to amaze, this time with the first successful penis transplant. You know, that's a lead right there. Yeah, okay. Science continues to amaze us almost daily with new findings and discoveries. Often, science reveals the possibility of things that once seemed impossible. Such is the case with a recent report of the world's first successful penis transplant. The victim of a botched circumcision. You can't make this stuff up. You know, this has to be made up, man. I gotta check on this. The successful penis transplant was performed on a 21-year-old South African man whose own penis had been amputated after a circumcision accident during a traditional initiation ceremony 3 years prior. The surgery was carried out. Yeah, I'm wanting to know how. Man, that's a movie right there. The surgery was carried out at Tigerberg Hospital in Cape Town by the staff of the urology department at Stellenbosch University. The 9-hour procedure, damn, that must have been a 9.5 penis or something, man. What the hell? The 9-hour procedure was performed on December 11, 2014, and it has proven to be a success as the man has regained full functionality of the penis. See, do you call it your penis or is it the penis? And it didn't even say of his penis. It's kind of like, is it on loan? Is he leasing it or what? I'm just wondering. You know, we repaired a small hole in his urethra, the pee pipe, last week so we could remove his catheter, and just that induced an erection on the operating table. Okay. Nurse! We were so surprised at that erection that he certainly is getting very good results for his transplant, said Professor Andre van der Merwe. I wonder if they color matched. You know, I'm just saying. A little shade of, you know. And I want to know who the donor. You know, this brings up so much stuff. You know, the questions only we would ask. Head of Urology Division at Stellenbosch University said, okay. Few setbacks and a good recovery. Setbacks. During the procedure, van der Merwe's M-E-R-W-E, so Merwe's staff had to manage small blood vessels inside of the penis and attach them to blood vessels in the abdomen. Okay, I want to see this plumbing. The smallest blood vessels were only a little bigger than a millimeter wide. While performing an operation of this type, there are many things that can go wrong. Oh. The surgeons did encounter a temporary setback with a blood clot formation in one of the blood vessels. They also encountered some bleeding and oozing, ew. But now the young man has made a good recovery, according to his doctors. Sometimes transplant patients have psychological issues. At least. Once they become the recipient of someone else's organs or material. Such was the case with a Chinese man who had a penis transplant back in 06. 2 weeks after the transplant, the doctors removed the penis because the patient and his wife had suffered severe psychological problems from the situation. Okay. There was a careful psychological screening process before the South African man was approved for his surgery. While his girlfriend chose to decline counseling, van der Merwe announced in an interview that the patient is doing well and has become sexually active again, proving it can be done. The South African medical team involved in the operation included 3 senior doctors, transplant coordinators, theater nurses, a psychologist, anesthetist. Anesthetist. There you go. Anesthetist. Thank you. Anesthetists. And ethicists. The real force behind the whole process was Professor Frank Grawe, the head of plastic reconstructive surgery at Stellenbosch University. According to Grawe, we've proved that it can be done. We can give someone an organ that is just as good as the one that he had. It was privileged to be part of this most first successful penis transplant in the world.
Good for him.
I am deluged with comments, bumper stickers, graphics. I mean, I'm thinking this is not. Oh, if this doesn't make it on the late night, you know, shows or something, you know, on the network and stuff.
How old was the gent?
No, it doesn't say. I don't think it did. I think he said he's 20. He was young. Let me see. He wanted a penis. 21-year-old. You know, 21-year-old South African man whose own penis had been amputated after a circumcision accident during a traditional initiation ceremony. Avoid this ceremony, whatever it is. He did it when he was 18, I guess 18. So whatever that was, he flinched. Oh, you shouldn't have moved.
It's over. It's all overrated.
I'm going, wow, okay. Okay. You can't make this stuff up. Okay, so then we got the freedom thing, Adam's deal. Greece is going to start. You know, this was a video that was done by Peter Schiff. And what he had done is he gets up and he says, okay, of course Greece is going to go to the drachma, you know, and go out of the euro.
Is that pretty certain or what?
They're yakking about it, threatening it, wanting to do it. Why? Why would Greece go to, you know, abandon the euro and say, yeah, we're done, and go to the drachma?
I have no idea.
Because they can print money then.
Oh, okay.
See, they can't print the euro. They can do bonds, and they can do, you know, finance, whatever, and nobody's going to lend them anything anymore. They know they're done, so they go, well, you know, well, the U.S. does it. You know, we'll just have our own currency and we'll just print our own money.
I mean, seriously, you've seen all the statistics, and my question to you is, I mean, how much money do we print from fiat? And there's nothing that backs it. Nothing.
Oh, yeah? A freaking F-16 backs it.
Ooh.
Military industrial Gatling A-10 gun of I freaking kick your ass if you don't like it backs it.
Well, okay. But I mean, we're talking trillions. We're talking more money than...
I know! It's amazing!
It's amazing. I can't... You know, there's two questions I have is, who made the universe, you know, and then who made the person that made the universe? That's one question I have. And then
turtles all the way down!
That's right. And then the second question is, how much money can the United States keep printing? And, you know, all the coke and hookers and everybody getting paid from the bankers and...
Well, ask the DEA agents. You know, this whole prostitution thing, I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. This whole thing, you know, they're having, you know, drug cartel dealers paying for hookers and drugs and parties and kind of...
Oh, wait, they were... Something can't fire them or something like that.
No. Well, I don't know.
Not that they need to be.
They were undercover, you know. And so what the story was is that this is one of dozens.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Dozens.
I'm surprised. Dozens.
Okay, I want to show this. Okay. This is, finally the video came in of SpaceX when they did CRS-6. You know, there's six, whatever the heck. When we come back, on the edge of your seat, there went the music. When we come back, I'll show you the video of the first stage landing on the barge. Okay? Well, it kind of almost made it. But it was in a big, giant ocean of nothing, all of a sudden a spacecraft comes on this lone little barge you see here, and what happened? I'll show you when we come back.
Here comes the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
I get to do the best, like, three-note, two-word kind of something. Because why do you do that, Ernie? Because I can. And you would, too, if you could. You should sing. Are you a singer?
Yeah, no, more dancer than singer.
Oh yeah, you are. You're so sweet on the floor.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, Keith is definitely a good time. You know, that's one thing. You have the PA system, the big PA. It's like Mike Duggar, you, and I got enough. You know, it's always the sound guy. You know, the digital projector, which is what happened last night. You know, for it's been planned for months, and Mark J. Victor, criminal defense attorney for freedom.com, he gave a presentation last night at the group, and these are the boys, they're politically involved in the boys, and so he needed a screen, a digital projector, a PA system, a laptop, the blah 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 blah, and they had their IT guy come in with the file that he was late, and I'm going, seriously, get your butt, get some. So anyway, so they get in. Channel 12 was there last night interviewing Mark about some kind of a missing baby thing again. There's because he did the what's her name, who cares, but anyway, so he's on TV. And in the next room, they had a bunch of prosecutors. It's the university club down there, and they had some prosecutor, attorney, and ACLU lawyer meeting people. So when they happened to be there, interviewing him, well, we're trying to get, he goes, well, there's a bunch of them right over there. Go walk down the hall. So, Mr. Prosecutor, what say you about, whatever. So I'm going, okay, so that went out. So Mark was on TV last night, and it's just blah, 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 stuff I don't care about. But so he went on talking about this case in Mesa that he did, and this is the behind the scenes. Come to find out, the Mesa cops had on a body camera, okay? So they, bad to John Q. Public here. And this guy is owner of Mesa Muffler. So he lives in a million-dollar home. He's got, going business and so on. Well, texting his ex-wife about his kids, soccer or it was a baseball game, something, whatever. And back and forth. She's just like, yeah, he violated the order of protection.
Yeah, was he allowed to text? No, he was allowed to email only, I believe.
Right, okay. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Well, there's a bunch of interesting points, but this is one thing that, Mark's going to make the argument. They go, well, texting isn't emailing, so you're in violation, pay your, $100 fine, whatever. It's not a big deal. So he goes, yeah, I texted, guilty, right? Well, Mark goes, oh, so texting and emailing are separate things. So when they pop my guy on the road, you were texting on the road, so you're in violation. He goes, no, I wasn't. I was emailing. Is he in violation? Is texting emailing the same thing? It is when they say it is, and it isn't when they say it's not. This is the point that Mark makes on all this stuff constantly. He and I both, just the hypocrisy of it. It's when it favors them, it's allowed. When it doesn't, it's not. Okay? So he's like, all right, he's walking this through. I want to get declarative statements from, to the point it becomes obvious it's just whatever the hell they say it is. All right? So the officer, we got to show the thing, but we will in just a second. I'll get to that. In the meantime, you can watch the pretty covers. Okay, so the Mesa policeman had on a body cam. Now, we find out later, now as this develops over the months, is that this officer, he's on the air, in the media talking about how great body cameras are because it makes him a better cop, blah, 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 protects him, yada, 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 has it on. They go up to this guy and he says, now, your email, read that. So he's reading text. He goes, I won't even text her anymore. Fine, I don't need this. It's all good. So they get there, tell the kid, the girlfriend, go inside. The kids that he had, he's got custody of the kids then. They go upstairs. It's all right, just go upstairs. They're watching this from, his house, from their bedroom, dad with the cops out there. He's got like a cigarette in one hand, and he's got a coffee, a Starbucks, in the other hand. And this is a guy, he's probably 20, 30 pounds, maybe under 6 foot. He's kind of heavier set, older, gray, mature, got businessman. He's got it together. So he's just standing there being nice. I'll read the email. Now, the cop has already read the email, and he goes like this. He goes, this is ridiculous, just like you. Boom! The other officer, Smash Mouth is what they call him. Officer Smash Mouth comes up and says, he goes, hey, Mojo, and he goes, what? The other cop knows what's going on because he had read the email from the wife. He goes, wait. No, he's just reading the email. because he said the word ridiculous. This is ridiculous, just like all the cops ready for a beatdown. Well, he says this. He goes, on the camera, you hear him go, he goes, yeah, I was about to punch you in the face. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. Did you say you were about to punch me in the face? The other guy goes, no, I was right here. No, he did. No, I go. He goes, I think I want a supervisor. I got a cop here threatening to punch me in the face. I want a supervisor. No, you quit advancing on my officer. He has the camera on. Now, if you just heard audio, you'd be thinking, you know, somebody's about to get shot. So he goes, and you see a laser red dot on his chest. And he goes, you ever been tased? You're about to be lit up. You know what? Just get on the ground. Put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest. Why? Because he asked for a supervisor. He's going, hey, man, this guy just threatened. I'm just reading, doing what you... There's no... And this escalates me. They're looking for... They're hunting for an opportunity. You know? It's like a pissed off ex-wife hunting for an opportunity. And I'm going, wow, this is the mindset that they have. And that was the point that Mark was making. So it's going... Now, of course, they're challenging, is it text, email? He'll have fun with that, you know, and use that to whatever knowledge advantage of we know now. And then the big thing is he's filing a federal civil rights suit. Now, there's no damage. They didn't beat the crap out. He didn't lose an eyeball or something. So there's not going to be a lot of monetary anything in this. But it's just going to demand. He's going, yeah, we're going to freaking get some. And it's important to this guy. He has some money. It's important to him. He goes, yeah, I'll pay Mark go grip ass, and he'll give him a discount, and Ernie's going to, we're going to have us some fun. So I'm going, okay, so what's the deal? It's because he's just sick of this. Mark is just sick of it. He went through this kind of stuff himself. He got beaten unconscious 2 days in solitary confinement, a criminal defense attorney at a customs station coming in from a cruise in Miami for just stupid, what even misunderstand. They just excuse for a beatdown, beat the crap out of him. Now, Mark, a lot of people don't know, he bench presses over 300 pounds. I mean, the guy's got arms that are freaking huge.
Well, he's got short arms. I mean, short arms, yeah. Big chest makes it easy to bench. Long arms, skinny chest, you know, it's tougher. So go ahead.
But he is short. He's only maybe 5'6", you know, something. He's, you know, Mark is a small guy, but he's built like a bulldog, which is his mascot, you know. I'm a trial bulldog. So he's Marine. So this guy's got some skills.
Yeah.
So they dogpiled on him. He goes, I thought I was going to die.
I know, it's horrible.
You know, and beating the crap out of him.
Horrible.
You know, concussion kind of crap, put him in solitary confinement 2 days. Okay? So this became a thing. They finally, and this was the deal. They go, you sign here, you know, not to sue us, and we'll drop all charges. I have never seen them. It's always implied. It's always talked about. It's always judges' chambers, you know, this kind of crap. But I have never seen a federal agency, you know, law enforcement, Justice Department, whatever, on the same page saying that. You do this, you don't do that. You know, we won't do this. And I go, okay. Did they get a non-disclosure? And he goes, nope. So he goes, and we'll talk about it a lot. Okay. So this is all this stuff that's coming up, right? So now he's like, this is motivation. This is a good, you know, background story. You know, I've been through it. I know we're out of control. Police state, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Okay. So now he's like creating this in the newspaper. We got an ad in there, an article, all this kind of, you know, and that's why I met with the Phoenix police last week. You know, all this kind of, here we go. You guys want to play? Yeah, here we go. We sue cops. So who do we hook it up with? Will Grigg from Pro Liberate. You got John Whitehead from Rutherford Institute. You got Cop Lock. You got Photography is Not a Crime. You know, I'm just going, you know, we're going to blow this up. And, you know, while we're doing this, it's going to be and Freedom in the Prison Book. Clergy, I mean, it's just building up. I mean, how else do you go against a police state? What they want you to do, look, these right-winger, you know, kind of, you know, protesting the anti-Jade Helm invasion of the military occupation of the Southwest Texas is bad. You know, we go, yeah, well, we just make fun of them because they're so freaking easy. I'm just going, you guys are so easy. So, Sweeps Week is coming up. So the local media for, you know, their ratings, okay? So the different, you know, they works with some of these guys, and he goes, look, I give you the footage. So they're crafting it and editing it and getting all kind of, here comes the story. Well, what a lot of people don't know is that during this, the guy just asked as a Freedom of Information request. He goes, hey, I'd like this officer's tape from this time. So the department, they just download this, whatever, they just send it to him. So he got it. Oh, the connection's gone. Well, just let it go. So they send it to him. So when they he gets it, and he goes in about this order protection thing, goes to Mark, and Mark takes it, and he goes, oh, he watched a video of this. Oh, if you want to blow this up, and he does because his kids watch this. He's the bad guy. Then they don't want the girlfriend watching him, so they bring his ex-wife to come pick up the kids and parades them in front of him in the cop car. I'm like, going to get some on this. They pissed off the wrong people. So here it comes. They're in sweeps week, making out that and advertising for Mark. Yes, we sue cops now. Rock and freaking roll. So I'm going, all right, we got that going for us. Yeah, we went in to break the connection with the network when I didn't hear the music. So, you know, we'll come back here at the top of the hour in just a little bit.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, April 16th, 2015. Silver is trading at $16.48 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,208 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $229. Antiwar.com reports, fresh off his visit to the White House, Iraqi Premier Haider Abadi expressed serious concerns about the Saudi attack on Yemen, warning it could quickly escalate into a region-wide sectarian war. Facing non-stop sectarian war themselves, Iraqis are understandably sensitive to anything that might make matters even worse. And Obama about this and said the U.S. shares his concern on the war. The White House was quick to deny this, however, saying they have no problem with the Saudi war at all. That's unsurprising, of course, because while they haven't exactly publicized the fact, the U.S. military is participating in the war. Saudi ambassador to the U.S., Abdel Al-Jubeer, slammed the criticism of his country's war, saying Abadi should focus on the problems in his own country and not worry who the Saudis are invading at any given moment. The U.S. being on Iraq's side against Sunni insurgents in that country and backing Saudi Arabia's Sunni coalition and attacking Shiites in Yemen is making their regional position harder and harder to justify to the nations therein. The U.S. has long done whatever seems expedient at any given time in the Middle East, which somehow always seems to be war. But as their interventions grow, the lack of justification for them is becoming more and more obvious. FPP Radio News is brought to you by Coinbase. Coinbase is a simple and secure online Bitcoin wallet for sending, receiving, and storing Bitcoin. Coinbase also allows you to buy and sell Bitcoin using a bank account or use their tools to accept Bitcoin as a merchant. Get started at coinbase.fppradio.com. That's coinbase.fppradio.com. UPI reports low-wage earners in multiple industries on Wednesday gathered to demonstrate from coast to coast against present minimum wage levels as part of a two-year-old campaign known as the Fight for $15 per Hour. Workers in the fast food, healthcare, retail, and other industries organized the rallies in about 200 U.S. cities such as New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, and Los Angeles. The Tax Day rallies advocated by labor unions varied in participation from a couple dozen to thousands of marchers. Wednesday's rallies were notable particularly for employees in the fast food industry who have long been spearheading efforts to bump the minimum wage, which is set by each state's government as long as it conforms to the federal minimum. Elizabeth Owens, a 56-year-old former industry worker and New York resident, said, "I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at McDonald's, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Burger King. And I was making $423 a week after taxes. It's just not enough." In New York State, the minimum wage is $8.75 per hour. Recently, several employers like Walmart and McDonald's have taken steps to boost their minimum wages. McDonald's said its wage increase will take effect in July and ensure that every employee will earn at least $1 more than the minimum hourly wage.
For over 35 years, Robertson Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Robertson Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co. The Houston Chronicle reports police officers fatally shot a man who led them on a car chase Wednesday morning in Northeast Harris County, Texas. According to a Harris County Sheriff's Office spokesman, the chase began about 10:40 a.m. Houston police tried to pull over the driver of a blue Chrysler 300 due to suspicious activity, including two unsafe lane changes. As they approached the car, the driver fled. A chase ensued through Northeast Houston, and the driver eventually struck two vehicles. Officials said the driver got out of the car and officers told him to raise his hands. He then appeared to reach back inside the vehicle. That's when officers opened fire on him, firing 10 to 12 rounds. The man died at the scene. No weapon was found in the car. The slain man was identified as Frank Shepard, a 41-year-old barber and father of three. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Facing mounting criticism that lethal injection is cruel and outdated, Ohio has replaced it with a system that quickly and humanely rips off the heads of death row inmates using powerful robotic arms. The new device is designed to be as humane as possible, emitting soothing white noise and putting prisoners on a cushioned seat before its metallic talons dig into their necks and painlessly wrench their heads off. Ohio Department of Corrections Director Gary Moore praised the machine, saying, quote, "Our new system is a hallmark of compassion. Now these deaths will be pain-free because the machine's claws are coated with topical anesthetic. Quickly pulling off a prisoner's head is considered less cruel than lethal injection, which requires three separate chemicals. And Ohio isn't the only state changing the way it handles capital punishment. Last month, Texas unveiled the Machinator, which humanely squishes up to 50 prisoners at once. Coming up next, is anything valuable buried in the woods behind my house? Our team of investigators finds out.
This is the Onion News Network.
Studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Let's go back and go. You see the dome. There's a cover that kind of depicted the dome, and then this is the real dome. Okay, let's do that. Can I do that? Yeah. Okay, so we got the real dome there, and then let's see the inside there. You see the wind's blowing, you know, starting in, you know, it blows like for like 3 weeks out of the year here. All of a sudden now it's a, you know, it's beginning of April, you start seeing all of the kites at the front of the checkout at the store of fill in the blank, and it's you know, it's very nice. So all right, so we got cool weather today. I know it's you know, all that warming stuff, but it's going to come down to the sun. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I remember in the beginning, all right, I want to know what's up. You know, tell me what's up. So what we did is we started going around and looking for professionals and such, and I just, because I don't know, he was, and a friend of mine goes, I read this book, something, you know, it was before all the money went to global warming. And he goes, there is, it's a sun thing. I mean, it's just, you can measure the radiation from the sun. You know, it comes out at a certain intensity of whatever. And during different seasons of sunspot cycle, there's a, I don't know, 11, 13 year old year cycle, a 20 something year cycle. And the cycle of the something, the sun has cycles. You know, that's just the way it is. So I'm going, okay. So what were we at? Well, it was an astrophysicist. It was a female. I can't remember. I got to look it up. I'm going to see if I can find her. We tried to get her years later or something, but she was excommunicated or something. But anyway, so we'll see if we can track her down. And she was a Harvard astrophysicist, and she goes, it's the sun. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. These guys saying whatever they're going to say, but it's the sun. It's the intensity of the sun, and the sun, and it's the sun. So now what do we have? And that's one of the most popular articles on the site. I keep seeing it. It's up top all the time for like a week. And it is a NASA scientist saying, you know, stock up on food and guns and whatever, and we're going into a change, and it's going to get colder. See, global warming. Oh, the warming. Oh, my goodness. The polar bears. Yeah, but crops do great. Global warming, that was what caused the Renaissance in, you know, Europe. You know, it's like they had a lot of food. They were growing grapes in England. You know, in the United Kingdom up there, you know, the island of England, they're growing grapes, which is like, are you kidding me? It's like, you know, grapes in, like, you know, Alaska or something, or, you know, Washington State or something, which there is. There's a bunch in Washington State, by the way. So I'm going, I'm covering the secrets and exposing the lies! Lies, 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 lies. The one thing I didn't, you know, the internet cut off for the end of the last show, but I just, you know, the main thing on this Mesa Cop thing going on with Mark Victor and myself and, you know, the media, and we're just, you know, we're going to pimp it out. It was a gentleman, a business community leader. It's, you know, got a couple of nickels to rub. And his kids see him get arrested because the cops just made up stuff that was on their own body cameras. And it became a big deal. And then Mark, what I didn't tell you, is he interviewed, did a deposition, you know, of these two cops. And it wasn't a deposition. It wasn't in person. It's a phone interview. You're allowed to do whatever and record it. So he's just like, you know, this kind of stuff. He's just like, yeah, I'd rather have it more informal. And they just, you know, spilled their guts. Did you threaten to punch my client in the face? Oh, I don't go review the. I don't remember. It wouldn't be prudent. Okay, so I'm just going. Yeah. So during the interview, I mean, he just nails them all up and down. You know, a bunch of stuff. And I'm just going, This is what happens when you call the cops. So, good cop. Where you at? Rob Hussle, which performed both those songs at a Narco Poco, was awesome. So it's getting the whole audience. This is what happens when you call the cops. If our rights get violated, then we all get shot. So this is kind of the theme that we're, you know, trying to, let's stop this. Let's go the other way. There's got to be some way that we can, you know, tune this down. And they're not willingly, you know. And then the Phoenix police are doing a test on body cameras and how they kind of go, I don't care. There's enough cameras out. It doesn't matter. I mean, you guys need to have body cameras just to protect you, you know. But I'm going, this is, and this officer that, you know, lit him up and, you know, got the laser on his chest and on a tase, you about to get lit up because you asked for a supervisor kind of thing, because this guy threatened to punch you in the face and you said, and I'm going, Jack, you're under arrest. You know, well, he was the guy on video saying, hey, you know, yeah, the cops make, you know, the cameras make me a better cop and I endorse and it's all good. Well, we're going to find out, because it's going to be a thing. We have to stop. They got to know that there are consequences to their actions. This is getting bad. But what do they expect you to do? Be mad and evil? No. You know, we're going to go after the bad ones, support the good ones, because there's probably, you know, something Mark was saying. I think he's being, you know, kinder than, you know, actual reality. But he's saying, you know, there's a lot of good cops out there. It's, I got to make this the cop, not the gun. Okay, now this is what was discussed, and he made this point. He's going, you know, whenever we have, you know, they say, oh, the cops, they don't need a, you know, mine resistant vehicle. They don't need, you know, tanks. They don't need armored personnel carriers. They don't need 50 caliber machine guns or the Gatling of whatever going to kick our ass police. They don't need that. You know, well, the argument that the officers would make, they go, hey, man, bad guys are getting bad. I mean, you know, they're like pretty good and armed. And this is the point that I was making with, you know, AR-15 stuff. And Obama came on that crap on CNN. I go, look, they need us on their side. We're often better armed.
They don't want the people, insurgents, or whatever. They don't want to get into, like, a civil war here. I mean, this is, you know, that would be bad. You know, and they, them, those are putting everybody up to it. You know, of course, they feed on the whole thing and sell ammunition, of which, you know, was it the federal government, now DEA, somebody, being fed, you know, who cares? You know, the federal shiny badge just bought, there was it, 93 million more rounds of ammunition of, what'd you think was going to happen? Department of Homeland, will you kick your ass? So I'm going, all right. So what did Mark say? He goes, when they come to us and you say, oh, well, this happened in the shooting and we got to take away the rights. So he goes, nah, it's not the gun. It's the person. Well, how does that not apply to police officers? Because if you are going to make this argument, you got to be consistent. He's going, look, it's not the gun. It's not the taser. It's not the tank. It's the system. It's the officers. It's the people behind it. So I can... I can go with that. I'm okay. I'm not going to attack the guy. I mean, I make fun of it. And they go, seriously, is that what? Okay, whatever. But, are you using it against bad guys? Of course not. You know, I mean, you know, if they are, it's not worth, you know, what they're doing, the 15 gazillion good guys. And then we had Mr. You know, I support man, you know, a guy named Roy Miller that is runs the discussion group after he inherited it from a gentleman that passed away that started it. He and Chad Anderson started it. And he was in a car with his wife, and he's a retired Air Force pilot, fighter, colonel, something, okay? And of course, he has his other endeavors, but, you know, I've known him as, you know, just, you know, goes to all the Republican Party. In fact, he was the co-chair of Ron Paul's 2008 presidential campaign. So he's well-known in the Republican Party here. Well, and why you have all these, you know, Republicans so long go to this group. Well, he was pulled over by, all of a sudden, they're on the freeway. And he has a doctor friend in the back seat. He and his wife in the front. All of a sudden, they get pulled out. Guns drawn on them. 6-7 cars out of the car on the ground. And it's December. Now, and it's still cold in that night in the desert in December. So his wife laying face down, him face down on the freeway. Now, he's top of all traffic there on the side of the freeway. I guess. I don't think they're laying in the freeway, and he didn't specify, but I'm assuming not. And they're just hut, and you got, and it was called in somebody. They brandished a gun, or you matched the description of the whatever, and all he wanted was an apology. Same, they go, nope, no apology. We acted within the confines that we get to, and we got an excuse. Kind of suck it. Ah, okay. Winning converts. It was a bad idea to make this guy aware of just how bad it is. It's a culture thing. You feel me? All right. When we come back, SpaceX landing.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we got to go right to the get to the SpaceX thing. Okay, here we go. Now, this is all right. I'll give you a little background on it. SpaceX now with their Dragon capsule resupply the space station, at least the U.S. version of we got something that comes from the United States of America, made by America. America going, we're delivering something other than the Russians doing it, okay? So it's like, you know, saving face a little teeny bit. So we're getting the ISS, International Space Station. Yeah, the ISIS minus an I. The in orbit, they're getting their supplies from SpaceX, which is doing this. Now, they're also developing the Dragon capsule that can come back and land itself with seven astronauts. So I'm going, oh, that's cool. Well, Lockheed Boeing is competing, not even in the same category. Yeah, but we should get like a, it should be like a tie, and we still get some development money because we can get some. How come we not get any money at damn SpaceX? Because, you know, the innovators, man, they're just rock and roll and whatnot. We're not waiting on you. You know, the committee of bite me. So they have, oh, that's just go see why I'm so optimistic, Ernest Hancock. It's a video of my presentation at Narco Poco, and it was on this stuff. I'm going, this is why I'm optimistic. This is why I'm definitely not counting on government either. But what they are doing is the first stage is nine big giant rocket motors. And he's like, look, man, if I could save those, it's just fuel. I'll get some extra fuel. The launch, it showed the, from the capsule when the first stage broke away and then the second stage goes, there's a rear camera watching it do this maneuver. And it's going like this. You know, the first stage, the engine's back here, and it goes, and it starts to deorbit, okay? Then it comes down, and now the itty-bitty little speck out in the freaking ocean is this barge. X marks the spot. SpaceX logo on it. Come get some, all right? And it's not very big. I mean, you couldn't fit more than three, maybe, you know, in the end, you know, these rockets on there standing vertically. I mean, it's, a, you know, as tall as the rocket is wide and long. The first stage longer than that, you know? So, I mean, it's a small little speck out in the middle of the freaking ocean, all right? And here is what happened. And here it comes. We start. It's a 22-second video. And out of frame, here comes the rocket. Right when it gets above it, probably got 100 feet, it deploys its legs. There it's thrusting on. It's kind of hovering over it. It's kind of, you know, a little sideways trying to get righted. And then boom, it fell over. It was just, you know, just the wind kind of pulled it. It didn't get set down on the legs just right. Fell over. Boom, blew up. So it hit it, though, landed on it. So I'm going, this is, you know, how long is this going to take, you think, before they actually get a landing? Well, when that happens, we're definitely going to make a big deal out of it and have Michael Belfore, which is a writer and an author, and he's a journalist that covers the space race and so on. So he's going to go ahead and make sure that we get up to speed on what's going on behind the scenes. So I'm going to have Donna, you know, call Michael Belfore, see if we can get him scheduled for next week. I want to talk about this and the next launch. And what they do, after the first stage hits, you know, they just, you know, tow it back in the port and refurb it, and off you go. Well, what'd they do with Spaceship One? They could do it in a day if, you know, the, you know, freaking planet depended on it, I guess. You just change out the fuel and, you know, boom and go. Well, that was kind of the point here. I wonder how fast they can do that to refurb it. What would be a safe, you know, we got to inspect whatever. I mean, you know, pressurize this, do that, wash that, you know, put this in, refuel, put it on, boom, go. I'm wondering, you know, what the turnaround time on this. I can tell you what the turnaround time is on the money. It's like, you know, I still got it. That's what it is. You don't have to build another nine freaking engines. This is amazing. We got to wait this long for this. Why isn't this done before? Because the companies, like, we make money, build rockets, not saving them. you just want to pull your hair out. So that's what's going on there. All right. So let's see. There were some other notes I had here. We talked about that. Oh, the anti-drone zone. The drones are getting better and better and better and better and better. And my experiences with my first really, I mean, high quality, I've had a remote control plane before and promptly crashed it. But, you know, I learned a lot about the construction and how to fly. And, well, I didn't fly that good. But the, you know, got my kids, my son's interested, and they're really good at it. And, you know, and remote control and what the technology was in about 90. Now we move forward 25 years. What's the technology now? Now, I'll tell you what it is. It's not the radios. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, gizmo gadgets and cheaper, faster, better, and more functions and tighter and controls or that kind of crap. It's the video. And it's the materials. The materials and the innovation and the construction of these machines. And you think, I go, well, it's just a 3D part. It's not just a 3D part. It's all these itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, all kinds of parts that give you a full suspension on these off-road vehicles that do things that you just amazed that I'm going, God, man, can they even do that at full size? This is just phenomenal, the technology that goes in just the assembly. You know, in the materials, the screws, the 3D printed of every freaking conceivable, it's all plastic. And machine screws with hex heads. I mean, you look at the whole thing, and it's every component except for the electronics. Well, I've seen this before at the Consumer Electronics Show. It was the drones. They've gotten to the point now with the circuitry and the connections and the leads. You don't need wires. You just print the actual carbon nanotube fiber of whatever inside the plastic, and it's conductive. So the actual pieces of the machine itself has its own nervous system. So what do we see? Yesterday, we were looking at Android muscle tissue. I was showing that. What does it do? I have a robot, or an android now, I might as well just call them androids, you know, that you have a skeletal structure and so on, but you have to actuate the arm. You know, what does this? Well, it's, you know, pulleys or actuators or hydraulics or pneumatics or whatever the heck. What if you just had a battery pack? And all that did this was a muscle. And you had carbon nanotubes that went into this fake muscle, this polymer that contracts when it has electricity like your muscles do. So you're building Terminator. Now, Terminator be antiquated. Terminators, you know, the actuators and the hydraulics and pumps and kind of noisy and crap. You know, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, the heck with that. That's old school. So then even these new machina or some next machina, whatever, you know, this artificial intelligence kind of, they're kind of more talking about intelligence. But the actual body, you know, they're not even thinking of using muscle material. It's a polymer. It's a jelly. It's a structure, a muscle tissue, a fiber, or whatever the heck. And you just run in through it. Carbon nanotubes is connected to electrical impulses that a processor says go like this for that, and boom, it does it. You know, it says, hey, you know, love you a long time, soldier man. Oh, can you imagine? It's like Westworld. You know, can you imagine having a android brothel? Do the customers, you know, complain, or they get their money's worth of whatever? Does your help complain? Do you got health concerns? Do you got maintenance prices? Do they say no? The future's going to get weird. Some of these things we got to think about, and now Android muscles.
I love My Magic Mud. I drink a lot of coffee. I had stains on my teeth. Then I found My Magic Mud, and I was told it would remove stains. So I paid attention when I brushed the first time. My Magic Mud is black tooth powder, and the difference it made in my teeth in one application was noticeable. With four, my teeth were as white as you normal folks out there. Please go to MyMagicMud.com and buy it. There's 150 applications for $25. You can use Bitcoin. MyMagicMud.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, and I go, wow, where is that? Do I have that file? No, it's called the internet. So I'll just go get it. The I want to make sure that we set up for next week. We're going to have a lot of guests on. We were working on the newspaper and everything. Donna's in there communicating. I just talked to in the break with the newspaper and their graphic. Make sure everything is all set. Going to Pratt, this page and this page. I just really nervous. I just want to make sure that we got the right and everything's right. So they're like, yep, that looks good. We're ready to go. This is the first time we've done this in 10 years. So, I mean, the tech has changed. So we're just going, okay. So we'll see. And they were doing, in 04, we did PDFs back then too, I think. You know, we weren't, the old school of cut and paste and so on. They'd gone at least to PDF. But it makes it a lot easier for us to do color. So, and it wasn't going to be anymore. And, or if it was, you know, a little bit, I don't care. So I'm just going, okay, so which covers do we do? Well, we do the first cover of Freedom's Phoenix, you know, the magazine, the first one with a girl and the kind of the orange look you'll see. And then the back side, I'm going, yeah, you know, I could put another graphic on the back in color. All right, let's do that. You know, because I can. You know, we added 4 pages anyway. So I'm just going, we'll just do this. So we used the one of our magazine covers. You go to freedomsphoenixezine.com, and you can go to all the magazine covers, 36 of them. And you go, wow, that's over the years. That's a lot. And they're just beautiful artwork. And the one that I liked, Avi Barker did in profile, Campfire is kind of the backlight, and you kind of have Pork Fest. We had the Tool Bus. They have the school bus there. He called the Tool Bus. And we said, you got to give it a name, man. So he just made a wood sign there at Pork Fest, put it up and said, the Tool Bus. And it was, you know, the idea was they moved there from Michigan, his family. I think it was Michigan. And they moved up there to New Hampshire. Let's go up there because he's a carpenter. You know, that's what he does. He has all his tools. He built in his workbenches and everything, and he tows this bus and a trailer and an automobile, something. You know, I mean, he had his whole family with all their stuff, and he can do home improvement anywhere. And you're going up New Hampshire, and somebody in the Freedom community has got the goodies and just go do it. And as a marketing thing to the people, he's training little kids. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids sitting around there. This is a screwdriver. This is a hammer. This is driving a nail. This is how you do what they call this and this. And we're going to saw this and do that. Measuring twice, cut once kind of thing. So it's going, wow, the Tool Bus. So that's a good marketing thing to people. You teach your kid a little bit. Hey, come fix it. Hell, they already know you. They'll come over here and, you know, and they can learn, watch, and stay out of the way. I go, that's a very cool idea. So we put that in there. We had also the Unschool, you know, project. You have the School Sucks podcast, you know, by Brett. So I'm going, okay, let's go ahead and we'll include that. So we had a flying shuttle. It looked like a space shuttle, but it was, you know, colored all school bus and open up the side and I'm here. The school bus teacher came to you. Then you had, you know, the Pork Scouts, which is what Davi used in, you know, that's how they Survivor Max series, the zombies, the 12-year-olds, you know, South Park kind of guys out there, fifth graders kicking butt on zombies because they got the imagination and that story. So they're around the campfire. The fire has the phoenix come out of it. The silhouettes, you know, in front of them. In the background, you'll see Pork Fest tents and different stuff going on, aquaponic towers and, you know, just in the spaceships and stuff. And it's cool. And in front, silhouetted, is a pregnant woman with about a 12-year-old girl. It's got her hand on it. And there's Tim Fry's daughter. I think her name is Erwin. You know, something like that. Sorry if I didn't get the name right. But she, you know, she was the inspiration for that. It looks like her in profile, you know. And I just go, wow, what a cool cover. So we're going to put that on the back. And but we'll keep it tabloid, you know, without the fold. And hopefully, and we'll have... you know, Don, that's another thing. Donna, if there's an option of having this folded, tell them I don't want it folded. You know, go ahead and do that. Come in here. You know, tell them, you know, just, you know, we need to make sure that they know not folded. I mean, if they fold it, we'll live. But, you know, I'd rather it not. So it's more like an open tabloid. So, and same step, hopefully. So if we do that, you know, we're going to have a nice product here. There'll be and I know what's going to happen. I've been through this before. It'll increase a bunch of traffic. It'll bring, but we had to get stuff ready. You know, it wasn't ready. The back end wasn't ready. We had to, you know, promote, make sure the satellite thing is taken care of. We got the internet and stuff on, you know, on the show and the affiliates of, you know, the stuff. We have, you know, all the, ads and everything, and people that they understand what we're doing and they're supportive of, and the authors and everything, it's all good. So then if we need to print more, just push the button, I'll just get more. Take a day. You know, here's $600, give me more. Here's $1,000, here's $2,000, give me a bunch more. So in the promotion also with this, I like Adam's book because it's a very, you say, and Adam's going to try and do what Adam does. He'll create a thing and try and have you know, some way to monetize this, whatever, good. I don't care. You know, just as long as I don't have to be part of something, I got to fill out government forms. No. So this is, there's a lot of stuff going on. But what's in light of? I mean, think about this. When I grew up, I lived in Florida till I was 12, and we moved here to Arizona in the early 70s. This is Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, this is Cold War, Soviet, Cuba is off limits of, you know, whatever. And it's just 90 miles off. And you knew a lot of people that were from Cuba that were there. You knew a lot of people that used to vacation in Cuba, had, you know, homes in Cuba, land in Cuba, business in Cuba. All of a sudden, it stopped. Well, I hear all about this. You know, oh, got to get your, you know, bunker. You know, you got to get your fallout shelter. You got a nuclear blast of what? I grew up with this. Duck and cover. It took this long. I'm shocked. I'm shocked it took as long as to do the Berlin Wall, too. But I'm going, you know, this too shall go down. North and South Korea, they'll stop their crap someday. You know, this is, it's just, ugh. So now we have Cuba. Well, what happens? Airbnb. You know, I'm going, okay, this is a really good thing. You know, you have, I just want to go stay at somebody's place, go visit and so on. I want to do that. So I'm going, she goes, well, you would go to, hell yeah. So it's Sal Lando. You know, Donna found, yes, so she had already said she, the first time I mentioned it, she had already tried to contact him. I bet he's probably busy. A bunch of media, you know, they remember his number now. So we'll be working on that. If I can get to Cuba, I'd love to. Just, I'd love to. That would be awesome, and share that with you guys just to see. Because I know what questions I want to ask. You know, how many permission slips do I need to fill in the blank? And if it's 1% less effort than in the U.S., Cuba's freer. Feel me? You know what? How many inspections do you got to go through? How many licenses do you need? How many permits do you got to have? How much permission do you need? You know, who gets to say no? How does it? And I'm going, I ask the same question. I'm a businessman here. I go through it. God, you want to know how much forms you got to fill out to open a restaurant? So I'm going, all right. So it'll be a restaurant. All right, I want to open a restaurant. Now what? I need to know. They're going to tell me how communist, socialist, whatever, Cuba, I go, yeah? And what do they got that we don't got? Socialized medicine? So I go, this is, it's it, on the face of it, the government is so freaking in my way. And what would be a really good place to have a spaceport in the Caribbean, on Cuba? You know, so that would be awesome. So did she say fold or not fold? Well, I need to know. If I have a preference, if I have an ability to have it folded or not folded, I wish to have it not folded. Try and make, see if that's an option, and our preference is not folded. Okay? Yeah, go ahead and check on that, and that'll be the final. Hopefully we won't bug them. Because it looks really nice, you know, and you have front and back, and I don't want to mess up the graphics, and I don't mind it being bigger, and you just, you know, slap it on big paper, or freaking just put them on tables at the diner. I don't care, you know. Now, if we're going to do mailing, in the future we may do a mailing. There's different other papers and formats that we have. We'll do that later, because we got enough distribution. People are just giving them out, you know, all these different groups and so on, so I'm not worried about distribution this time. In the past, you know, we've had times that we put the label on and everything. We've done mailings. So we'll work on that for next time. This time, just want to be party with really good content and the use of the QR links.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I'm the lyrical gangster. Dial emergency number. Still love you like that. Na 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 na.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, Jet Lacy used to be a board op. He was all into it. You know, he was a good board op. I really liked Jet. He filled in for me one time. And the network that one of the networks I was on, affiliates in Oregon and so on, they freaked out because he played some rap song that had cursing in it and, you know, didn't like the man and so on. And Jet just, you can't do it anymore. I mean, they freaked, man. They will not run. If I let you do that, they will not run anymore. You're not allowed. Because there are rules when you're doing broadcast. But it's getting to where, you know, it's going to be. I don't care. I mean, I don't need to cuss and kind of be stupid and stuff anyway. But, you know, they get mad. I talk about penis transplants, you know, because, I mean, you know, the world's first successful penis transplant. They said they went to part of the procedure later was after it kind of healed a little bit, they needed to take out the catheter and open up the urethra, you know, the pee hole, you know, through the thing. And then he got an erection and they go, we win! Yay! So I'm going, did he get an upgrade? And it was from, he was 21 years old, and it was a circumcision incident where he had his penis amputated a few years earlier, age 18. Ow. Okay. Now this is, I came across this, we'll have this up. The Sisrit wristband turns your arm into a touchscreen. So imagine you got a flexible screen on your forearm, and it's just like, you know, the screen of a big, you know, iPhone or something, a large one, and you're just sitting there, and it's just it's just kind of, I don't know, glued, snapped on, you know, bioimplanted, whatever the hell, and it's going to be here we go. Now, this is, you know, Dick Tracy was a wimp, man, you know. Now, the one other thing that I thought was kind of cool, this is a now thing, is it's called Mini Augmented Vision. It's been developed in collaboration with several Qualcomm companies. And what it is I think it was BMW does this. Who was doing this? But anyway, yeah, BMW showed off a working prototype of the glasses earlier this month at the Shanghai Auto Show in China. Mini Augmented Vision gives an insight into how intelligent connectivity between a mini car and eyewear into which relevant content is projected might work in the future. Because it was the Halo lens that Microsoft came out with is just like a shield comes down as a headset and has ears and all this kind of stuff, the audio visual, and it augments reality. You're in your kitchen, you got, like, you know, a TV screen that's on this certain part of the wall. You have, you know, buttons on cabinets that you push different to get and kind of interface in the weather and the 3D map of your map that they're going to and driving and whatever. And they're putting it into these lenses in your car. So while you're looking at the road, you can program it in your field of view. It gives you your map. You're not having to look at the GPS screen or on your phone or on your dash or whatever. It's in your line of sight. It augments on the road. Turn here, like points on the freaking road. You know, your speed is, your tack is, your instruments are. You got, oh, and a dial from and a call and kind of your freaking in augmented reality. And I'm going, yeah, we got that going for us. And, you know, it's just, you know, glasses. Is that something that you would wear, Donna?
Be interesting to try it.
Yeah, I'd try it. Well, I've seen this at the Consumer Electronics Show. They were, you know, promoting this big out in the thing, and it wasn't really working that well. I mean, it was all glitchy. But once it got going, one time I went and there was a bunch of people I had to try it, and it's like you look at the counter, it's like you're looking at the table here, and all of a sudden you see a sea turtle just start, you know, flying by. I don't know what kind of brain damage that'd do a 5-year old. They think that was cool, and kind of you try to explain it to them, but them growing up with augmented reality, now they're doing it to where you have projectors inside the kid's room, and it projects scenes and everything on the walls and the floor and games and all that kind of stuff. Well, you don't even need that. You just walk around with augmented reality glasses all the time.
Yeah, it'd be, you know, as if reality's not enough these days.
Well, think about it. If you have this other one that has a interactive touch screen on your forearm, okay, well, you got to look down on your forearm. And it's hard to, you know, do that while you're
driving.
Yeah, while you're dirt biking, you're cross country Baja 500ing.
I just kind of like to enjoy the world just from my own vision.
No, it must be augmented.
I don't know. Just some people like technology, and I don't mind technology. I think it's cool, but I don't want to live my life that way. You know, I might try it, but I'm not going to, like, walk around with it 24/7.
I know, but it's kind of a jar. I mean, yeah, me too. But, you know, a lot of these guys are just not going to know any different. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of this. When you, as a kid, you grow up, and, you know, what are you seeing? You're seeing that, you know, when you look at this, and this is what you see, you know. Now, let's think about this. Something as simple as I go out backyard. I have my glasses on. You know, I look at the pool. I look at the pool, or maybe it's a information port or color, a little dot that you put, like 3-inch, you know, round thing. Whenever I look at that, it'll give me some stats on that. It'll check, you know, the data feed on the pH and the chlorine level and the water level and everything. It'll check pool, and it gives me all this data, and I go, okay, I got to do this, or, you know, delegate something, or I got to actually work or something. All right. Then, you know, you look at, and there's some sensors that are in, you know, your lawn saying, hey, it's dry over in segment 437 on the south side of the whatever the heck, you know, the golf course tee needs somebody something. All right, your health monitoring of your fitness and the graphing of what the heck, and you go out and you go, and you know, the police surveillance drones are here and launch countermeasures. I mean, you know, it's just, you have all this data and information. It's not about what it can do, it's about what you select for it not to do. You know, what would happen? You go, yep, give me a pop-up up here that the whole time you're outside, we could have monitor on each of the grandkids. If they're sleeping in the back room or something, you got a little baby monitor that feeds into your augmented reality that you get to see. You wouldn't do that. What kind of grandma are you? Don't you want to have a constant 24/7 big brother on your grandkids?
Not really, because just imagine all of this stuff requires wireless communication of some sort, and we're just frying ourselves.
Just
from
a
the
little
inside.
Frying,
yeah. It's cumulative, so I'm not really willing. I don't even like the baby monitors, but you know our kids use them.
I want my brain sunny side up, not over hard.
You know, so I mean, it's just a different. I didn't grow up with this stuff, so I don't really need it. I enjoy the world the way it is, and yeah, I understand how some things.
Some
make
people
it,
may not.
Not okay. All right, fine. And that generation will probably live in this augmented reality, and they won't really. It's like they won't know fact from fiction.
Yeah, the phone go in check. The you know, I'm not. What you know, we're going to do? Pass a law? You know, I'm not for passing law. So, you know, if we want to be able to, you know, have this capability, which you can use for a lot of stuff. I mean, driving is just one of them. There's all kinds of information you'd rather have, you know, for driving, you know, just be able to, you know, information. Oh, you're trying to hang it up. So there's a lot of this stuff coming. And I'm not that scared of it. You know, I mean, I hate, you know what I'm scared of more than anything else is for them to claim you're not allowed in a monopoly. You know, this guy, no, hell no, you can't. So I'm going, okay. Now, you know, there's a couple of stories here I want to go over. This one, it just kind of, you know, ew. I mean, you always expect this stuff anyway. The only difference is that as time has gone on, the people are able to talk about it, let people know what's going on. Lawsuit. Police give lawyer hard drive infected with surveillance malware. Okay, think about it. A lawyer representing multiple law enforcement whistleblowers in Arkansas discovered surveillance malware after receiving an external hard drive from his client's department. So what they did, they got, you know, whistleblowers, and you know, what do? They go, all right, well, here's all the evidence and kind of the hard drive and surveillance. You think some local Arkansas place wrote that? That software, they did that? You think they did that? Where do you think that came from? You know, it's kind of the, you know, the surveillance state of, you know, order here on Amazon. And we'll install it into your kind of whatever through the Fusion Center kind of thing. I mean, you start scratching the surface on this, it's going to be the program of Stingray if we, you know, read all your emails and everything, we got your phone. After requesting internal emails for the case, North Little Rock lawyer Matthew Campbell became suspicious when the Fort Smith Police Department decided to place the files on a hard drive and send them through Federal Express. Yeah, using the mail. I mean, that might get him in trouble, too. Campbell, who normally receives files via email, told Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette that the department's decision immediately raised red flags. Something just didn't add up the way they approached it. So I sent it to my software guy first. I thought I'm not plugging that into my computer, so I sent it to a software expert to inspect it. After carefully inspecting the hard drive, security consultant Jeff Mueller discovered well-known malware capable of implanting backdoors and logging passwords. This is your criminal justice system. Wow. And you wonder why Mark and I are going to be doing this sue the man thing.